From New York City, the Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production present
Live from America Podcast.
We will make America great again.
How about new?
You crazy Dutch bastard.
Live from America Podcast.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men.
No. Excuse me. Just so you understand.
We can't be the stupid country anymore.
Live from America Podcast.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founder. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor. Able, disabled, gay, or straight, you can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
This is Live from America Podcast with Noah Gorman and Haddon Gadd.
Thank you. See? He never gives compliments, so don't get used to it.
No, it was really pretty good.
Oh, thank
you. That part would make America the stupid country again. I think there's the first draft of the Gettysburg Address had that line. He crossed it out.
Good evening.
Maybe it was a preamble for the Declaration of Independence. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good evening and welcome to a Live from America podcast with Noam Dorman and Hatem Gup. Noam's second favorite podcast, as you all know.
It's actually my favorite.
It should be, because it's the best podcast ever in the world. I don't know if you know. It's a political comedy where we discuss news, culture, everything that goes on in our country. Okay. Tonight's episode is about immigration. And we have very special guests. We have Justine Maruth. She is the chief editor of the Immigration Post. And she has her own practice. Noam is a lawyer as well, as I told you.
I'm not a lawyer. Yeah. I went to law school. It's not the same thing.
Why?
Why is it not the same thing?
Yeah.
Because you have to have an active license. I passed the bar, but I know.
I was just going
to
ask if you passed
so
the
bar. So it's kind of, okay. And we have comedian Nathan McIntosh. Welcome.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes. Immigration.
Happy to be here.
Immigration. We talk.
I'm a dude from Canada. Immigrated to be here.
Legally?
Yeah. What? Yeah, I got a green card.
There's no illegal immigrants from Canada, right?
Yes, there are.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but
nobody cares about them.
People
no,
care.
They don't.
People care a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Not that much.
No, not really. No. We're not the people
they're not visible.
Yeah.
They
no,
care
if
about
you just
the visible immigrants.
Yeah, you see my Blue Jays hat, you know that I'm not from here. But other than that, yeah, you wouldn't know.
Oh, nobody cares about
the certain
Blue
words.
Jays.
I'd say maybe, but other than that. But anyways, yeah, legally, I got a green card.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you have to get married to
No, I earned it. I paid for it. I did a whole bunch of stuff in Canada. Got the paperwork, submitted it, filed it. I had a visa before that.
I want to pay for it.
How did you earn it?
So because comedy stuff, you can sponsor yourself. You don't have to be sponsored through a company or whatever. And I just had to show them all the articles and stuff about me, all the stuff I've done in Canada, TV stuff.
So you're a self-petitioner.
Yes.
So actually, we want to bring the guests in, but I can't. It immediately brings a question to my mind, and you're the perfect person to ask it. So you went through the whole rigmarole and inconvenience of doing things by the law.
Yes.
Does that make you less sympathetic to the people who don't do it by law and then demand to be able to have the same rights as you?
Interesting question. I'm not entirely sure. I think it'd be like a case-to-case
thing. I'd say that's a yes.
Yeah, I think it'd be a case-to-case thing. If somebody could maybe do it the way that I did it, right? But if you can, I don't know what I don't know what everybody's...
I mean, if you have an option...
It's very rare to self-petition.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You have to have some type of special talent.
Yeah.
And
that's
you have to be able to prove it.
I did it.
You have and even if you do have that talent, it has to be documented.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to self-petition.
No,
self-petitioning is one of the legal ways to do it, but there are people who fill an application and then wait many years.
No,
until
that's not how it works. Somebody has to petition you to come to the United States. We don't actually have a system where someone can just apply
Isn't there a quota a certain number of people from
Australia
other, from
does
other
that,
countries?
But United States doesn't, and that's one of the problems with our immigration system is that we don't have a quote unquote line. There's no immigration.
We don't have any procedure for taking a certain number of people from, like all these immigrants that I see from Africa.
Okay,
they were petitioned.
Those are diversity visas, and they are so minimal in terms of the number of visas that we issue every year.
Right, but somebody who wants a diversity visa might wait. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. And they wait. They can wait for years.
Decades.
Right. Yeah. So
they have to apply every year to be in the lottery.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So somebody who waits.
Yeah.
Somebody who waits and then sees somebody else and cut in front might have some resentment.
Well, they also have to have certain types of criteria, because even if you win the diversity lottery, you still have to meet certain criteria to actually get the green card.
I know Canada doesn't have the lottery. Like Australia has the lottery. People can just put their name in every year. Canada doesn't have it.
Actually has a very interesting immigration system that we could learn from.
You mean getting into Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about from here are going to move to Canada as if you can just do it, and you can't.
Well, you can't just do it, but Canada has a system where you can apply for status based on your maybe education or the needs of the country in terms of what they need in, for employees, based on what's going on in the economy.
Okay.
They adjust every year.
Well, petitioning is the same thing.
We don't do that. In America.
But petitioning is that.
No, petitioning is family-based, employer-based.
Right, employer-based.
You're saying, so, in other words, you have to find a job, and the job has to sponsor you.
I brought over a few people. The reason I say it's the same thing is because when I have needed people, in other words, the business responds to the economy. When the economy is short on labor or short on specific skills, then people like me start petitioning and sponsoring immigrants, and that's how our economy responds to the need for that kind of labor.
But they have to do something special, right?
Yes.
Look, what she's saying, in Canada, they do it top down. They say, well, I think we need more ditch diggers.
Yeah.
But it amounts to the same
thing.
And
we do. The
ditch companies in America will start petitioning for ditch diggers.
Except that we don't have enough visas for all the foreign labor that we need.
Well, that's,
for
that,
example,
that I don't know.
Yeah, for example, like H-1B visas are like Rolls Royce and visas. Those are the best visas. Everybody wants them. One time a year, April 1st, everyone applies for them.
What is it exactly?
The H-1B visas. Those are the visas that all your tech companies use, for example, right? Those are all the foreigners that we bring into the country that we absolutely need because they're doing jobs that we don't have enough Americans to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, there's a quota every year. Maybe 85,000 of those visas are actually granted. First come, first serve. Everyone applies on the first. But there's three times the amount of jobs requiring those workers. So only one third of those workers actually come into the country. And that's a problem for our tech industry because they're the ones that are driving our economy, a good portion of our economy.
What loophole did you use to get into this country?
Speaking of driving, can you get a visa if you're going to drive a cab? I mean, that's something that Americans don't want to do. No? No? Does
not
it work like
exactly.
that? I mean, there's certain jobs that,
certain jobs, it's hard. You know, you really need, if you're trying to get a visa mm-hmm. based on employment, you really need a creative type of lawyer to work with you.
Yeah.
You know, I got a visa once for someone who, he didn't have advanced degrees, but he worked with horses. In my office, we call him the horse whisperer. And basically, it's an art form that is not really present in the United States anymore.
Yeah.
And so we were able to get him a visa, but that's really rare.
Like work with horses how? Like dressage?
Dressage, training.
What's dressage?
That's the horse jumping with them wearing all the, like the...
I haven't heard that word before. You guys all know it, like dressage.
It's one of the things I had to write down on the green card. Do you know this word?
The one said... thing is, Noam knows for sure that I don't know what it means. You know,
he's looking at me.
He's looking at me. It's like, okay, I know you don't know, but what about the rest?
Yeah, it's horse jumping and the horse shows and stuff. So I guess, so he would be
a trainer. Dressage.
Yeah.
I tell you a funny story. Tell me, this is legal to happen. You know, it's really funny. I mean, it's really funny if you were there too. I have a friend of mine. He got a visa because he's a singer and he is performing in the United States. Mm-hmm. So when he came here in the airport,
performing.
When he came to the airport.
What does he usually say?
He can't say his P's. It's a running.
I do, but you know.
He says B. He said podcast at the beginning of this.
Oh, thanks.
I like this guy.
That's the only thing you remember from all my. Okay, anyway. Don't ruin my joke.
It's a little Lucy and Ricky thing we have going on here. go ahead, Ricky.
So that would make you Lucy.
Yes.
Oh, exactly.
But that was the title of the show, so that's the better one to be.
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't We Love Ricky. Anyways, this is a story.
You see how they treat me here?
I see that.
Remember that the original name was...
You have a friend who's a performer. Go ahead.
Performer.
Yep.
With a P.
Performer.
Yep. Performer. So anyway, so he came here in the airport and he got a visa because he's a singer. He's he's performing in a concert here. And when he got into line in the airport, he's time to get stamped. And the guy told him, like, okay, what do you do? He's like, I'm a singer. He's like, okay, sing. I was like, what?
That happens
I swear to God.
Dude, that happens to comedians all the time from Canada. I'm dead serious. They get told to tell jokes at the
But
customs.
He told him to sing to the line.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not shy.
I believe it.
You know? He's like, sing.
It makes sense to me.
Oh, of course goodness. It wouldn't make sense to you.
What's wrong with that?
Because it's...
Well, what's so funny is it's usually just a bored person who wants to see some entertainment.
It's an abuse of power.
I'm serious because comedians get that all the time. Friends of mine go through L.A. I don't get it anymore because I have a green card now. But when I had the 01 visa, I would come through and they'd be like, what do you do, comedian? They'd be like, oh, say something funny or tell a joke. Or everybody asks about Russell Peters. People were very into...
I thought you were talking about...
No, finish. So this is... It's so funny you said this because it just brought to mind a story I hadn't thought about. Yeah, and by the way, you know Roy Innes died. Did you know this?
No.
You know Roy Innes.
Yeah.
So we went to the core function years ago, and there was some performer there, and I don't remember who the performer, but it was a troupe of like 10 African dancers that were performing with her, and they were terrible. They're looking like what the. So afterwards, we're Roy. What the hell is with these dancers? He says, "They just put them on visas as dancers. They come and do the so there really is the truth that of course when you create a classification which is unverifiable, people will." You know, drive a tractor right through it. So,
but you already got a visa.
If the person who has that job is taking his job seriously and believes that it would be a bad thing to allow people to use this as a fraudulent way of coming to the country, how are you going to find out he's telling the truth? Sing, tell
what
a joke.
What if they couldn't sing though? Then you shut them down, rip the visa up.
No, then they would have to. Well, I think I don't know what they would do, but what I would just say, listen. Something doesn't seem right here. I think we need to check this a little more closely.
Okay.
Well, normally that's done before because like those people come on performer visas. So
that's what I had at one point in time. Yes.
That's what you had, right?
I had the 01, which was my own, and I was sponsored.
Well, 01 means that you're extraordinary.
Yes.
Do you see what's going on? You're an immigration attorney, right?
Yeah.
What you have before you is an immigration attorney spouting the party line when she knows that behind the scenes it's rife with people fooling.
Oh, totally.
I feel like they tell you this is what you have to say. I mean, it is a ridiculous system. I think that we can agree. It's an absolutely ridiculous system.
The system is
it
broken.
It serves nobody well.
That's true.
And it's not fair.
It's not fair.
It worked out for me, and I'm happy about it. but everybody else, fuck them. You know, everybody behind me.
But especially people from this side of the world.
The brown
not
people.
Not that side of the...
The brown people are the ones suffering, really.
I have a question, actually.
I think that's what he said.
And fuck them. No, I don't.
So you're trying to get into the country.
Go on and only Steven.
This is something that happened to you pretty regularly. Like people would ask you, oh, you're a comedian. Tell me a joke.
The joke thing, or again, they'd ask you if you knew certain comedians. And because I'm Canadian, they would ask about Russell Peters.
Were you asked enough time to tell a joke that you had a ready joke?
No.
Prepared?
Usually
no.
What I would say, I was only asked a couple times, but usually I'd just be like, come on, man. And then they'd just be like, all right. That was it. Because I'm not going to tell the I just took my shoes off. I'm waiting in a line. I'm not telling a joke here, dude. This is...
I'm getting
this
a bad
thing.
Feeling about this. Can you tell us a joke?
Have you
seen him before? Because I never do.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Put your green card on the line.
He talked his way right into our podcast.
Podcast.
Okay. The podcast.
Podcast.
But yeah, no, mostly it was stories of Russell Peters. That's what people wanted to know. And I do have some of those, so then I would just tell people about that. Hmm. People would be very excited.
I want to ask you about today at your website. There was From Immigrant to President, Meet the Trumps, a documentary, a new documentary coming out. It's actually highlighted a few things. It's actually really interesting. It's about the history of Trump's family as immigrants, you know. I know you guys are excited. Yeah. I know, I could tell.
Well, what's interesting is that their name wasn't really Trump before.
Trump, right?
Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
The F, yeah.
And that his dad was illegal for a while.
Yeah. I wonder I wonder about his wife.
And his wife was illegally working, apparently.
Trump's dad's wife or Melania?
Melania.
Melania.
Yeah.
Can she tell jokes? If she had to go through the customs...
Oh, she
did. She did other things. She did other special services.
And when she's coming through, they just go, look good. Can you look good?
I hope they
right
legalize
now?
That so we can petition for it.
Yeah. What if you? What if?
What if you're blowing people?
What's just legal? Why can't you petition for it? What if she's really good at it? We can't find Americans to do this work.
So yeah, what?
It is actually the logical extension of it, isn't
it?
Yeah.
I think basically the issue is that people forget that this is a country of immigrants, and that the only people who actually can lay claim to the land here are the Native Americans.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Yeah.
Attack. Don't worry.
It's true. Attack it's the him. Native Americans. They're the ones that, you know.
He's used to people just taking over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I mention he's Jewish?
Yeah.
That was an Israeli occupation of occupied Palestine joke. Go ahead.
Let her enjoy the laugh.
I don't want to interfere with your little banter here.
Enjoy. Yeah, it's fine.
No, but we're a nation of immigrants, and that everyone has an immigrant history here.
Yeah.
And that this country was made and built by people who were industrious enough to get up out of their country, come here, try a new land with a new system, a new language, a new way of being, and make something of it. You know, there was a conference today in New York City, and they were talking about how New York is going to face some of the immigration backlash. And it's important in a city like New York because 50% of the business owners in New York are immigrants. 50% of the homeowners in New York are immigrants. So when you realize how important immigrants are to the country, you know, these are like serious issues. We need to stop. Let's be honest, right? We're really talking about a social issue, and we're really talking about social justice, and we're really talking about are we going to be oppressive towards the people who are different from us? That is a true issue. And we're going to coin it immigration. We're going to coin it anti-immigration. And we're not going to really address the issue. The other problem I have is that now the debate is turned towards, you know, economics and not like our moral values, which seem to be diminishing in this country.
All right. You want to respond to that?
No, go ahead.
I don't agree with some of it. I think there is a real issue of national division, and as I've said on this show before, the kind of moving from melting pot America, which was the immigration of like my parents' time, to this kind of hyper focused mosaic, which I think is causing the country to come apart and risks the country coming apart. I feel strongly that immigration today is different than what it was in previous generations. And I say that as an employer who is totally dependent on immigrant and admiring of immigrant labor, but their attitude about being an American is fundamentally different than previous generations' attitude about being American was first generation. Perhaps second and third generation, that will change. Maybe it won't. Maybe what we're doing is eventually sowing the seeds where we're going to have to take down the Jefferson Memorial and every bit of old American history because it's considered to be offensive now to the new culture of immigrants. I don't know. I worry about that. But I will say this. I think there's a big irony to this whole fight because I think that if they were actually, forget about whether it's a wall or not a wall, if they were to control the border in such a way that nobody could get in and out without permission. The biggest lobbying and the biggest pressure to have immigrants come in would not be from the Democrats, would not be from the Bernie Sanders, would not be from the brown community. It would be from Republicans because they are the business owners. They are the people with wealth who are wealthy. They are the people who have housekeepers, nannies,
but they are pressuring
landscaping.
For it.
Right. So I'm saying that
they are
that,
pressuring
that
for
they what I'm maybe I didn't explain.
Immigration like, reform was bipartisan.
There's a sloppy kind of melding that goes on in the various aspects of what Trump's trying to accomplish, as if the wall would lead to things. I think actually some very healthy result would have to come out of an ordered immigration
reform,
including controlling the border, which has to be the first step. Otherwise, you make a mockery of any laws. If you don't control the border, then whatever, it's like locking the door and setting the alarm, but leaving the windows open. I mean, you have to have everything shut down. Then you can set the alarm, and then you can control your house, and then you can make rules about how people enter and leave your house.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you thought that the way our parents probably immigrated was
my parents. Yeah, obviously, your history is totally different.
But I would say that immigration today is not easier than it was back in, you know, 100 years ago. I'm the child of an immigrant as well.
From where?
One of my my mother is French Caribbean, so she's French, and my father is West African. But my great aunt is the one that brought my mother here. And she brought, like, they came five siblings, only two decided to come to stay in the United States, and they all came here with the green card. It was a very different system back then, where you could actually apply for a green card from abroad and have a realistic chance of getting one without having any special ties already to the country.
Whereas when did that change?
Well, it's changed since, I guess, the 70s. In the 70s, there was a huge immigration reform, and that reform, the intention was to bring over more Europeans to the United States, and that's actually how the family petition system was really put into place, was in the 70s, because they wanted people to bring their European family members.
It didn't work.
It didn't, exactly. It worked against the intention that the country was trying to go for. So,
which is so often the case with legislation, it actually ends up
so it came back to us. You need us.
Yes.
Of course we need the immigrants.
Well, you're an immigrant too.
Yes.
Yes, I'm an immigrant too. And America is actually fortunate because most of the developed world is getting too old, and America has young immigrants, you know, and
we need them. To replenish those baby boomers who are just...
But the thing is, we need them. We also need to feel like a nation. We need them to feel like
integration.
Americans.
But integration...
Well, there was a plan to have an immigration system where they don't become American citizens.
Well, they don't now.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
He means they can never become Americans.
Yeah, never become Americans. But they come as workers and they pay... taxes and everything, but so I think that solved the problem that we were talking about, is like they're not really becoming Americans.
I don't like that either, really. That doesn't
seem well. That's most of the work visas that we have, that's how they are.
Yeah
you just
come to work, and you
I had one for 3 years.
I think it's a good system, because if you want to be American, you have to earn it, you know, and you have to really want to be part of the culture. You say like that's a part.
Yeah, very good. You said it very well.
Can I ask you, because you deal with immigration all the time, mm-hmm. what is a regular type not Mr. Podcast.
I was like, I do deal with immigrants
like, all
the time.
I sign papers all day. I get them in here every day. What's a regular, like somebody's paying for a green card and all that, or a visa or whatever, what's a regular type of price that people go through to do that?
It really depends. I mean, if you're going to a nonprofit organization, it's going to be a favorable price. But if you're going to a private attorney, it could be anything that the attorney sets it to be.
Yeah.
So it can be costly. And then it depends on how the person, if they came here, how did they come into the country in the first place? How did they pay to get into the country?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a cheap process. Sometimes I wonder how people find the money to.
You're looking at me pretty suspiciously right there.
Those must be some pretty funny jokes.
I don't know. You know, the rich immigrants, we were talking earlier about the rich immigrants man. Pay $1 million to get a green card.
What?
Yeah. Just because $500,000 is the price for.
Why?
$500,000 to open a business in a developing area.
A
otherwise, it's
$1 million.
They pay $1 million. And they have to create jobs for 10 Americans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine how hard that is.
$500,000 for a business seems pretty. I mean, I don't know anything, but I mean, I thought. That seems pretty regular, doesn't it? Kind of.
Well, you have to bring it. You have to invest that cash into the country before you get the green card.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get. Yeah.
But there's, you know, tricks to get the green cards. You know, to you know,
you go, marry someone.
Well, yeah.
Who's wealthy?
No, not
and
not
become,
not. It doesn't
will
have to be
and
wealthy.
Will become president or something like that.
Oh, he's trying to say.
Can I ask? So you, they assess your worth, and they determine how much you should pay for your green card based
no,
on.
No, this is.
That's what I thought.
No.
But no, it's a business thing. If you
it's
have
a business thing.
Yeah.
That these the amounts to invest are set by the legislation. Yeah.
In certain.
And so you
states.
Can also have like you know just a business investment visa. And those, there are no minimums, but in general, you're looking at $200,000 invested, and you get to come here for 5 years and build a business.
So let me ask you a question.
But that's a lot of money.
Trump has been all over the place in various things that he said about immigration. And obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but I believe, and some people believe, that some of the things he says, not only did he not mean them, but he hadn't even thought of them before they came out of his mouth. You know, like they're just literally off top of his head. In his private thoughts, if he could wave his magic wand, what do you think he would like to see vis-a-vis immigration policy in the United States of America?
Honestly, I don't really think he knows. I mean, first of all, the USCIS is, I think it ranks second to last in terms of effective agencies. Like there's a ranking of the agencies in the country, and USCIS is like.
What does that stand for?
There's a ranking of which
United States Customs.
No,
of course you wouldn't know that, but we.
Isn't that what it means? United States Citizen and Immigration Service.
I've been in there. They're pretty. Yeah. There's nothing going on.
They have a good show there. They have a lot of great talent.
Some really good singers over there.
Norm is like, what is a green card? What is that? We have to suffer from this.
Well, Hatem was one of the first guys that got his green card by marrying a man, actually. Go ahead, finish the story.
Yeah, so...
And he said yes.
So, you know, the agency itself is broken. So I don't even think Trump is familiar with immigration policy, legislation, or even just the technicalities of how it works. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's starting from the drawing board. He's going to have to be briefed in the first place.
You could totally be right that he doesn't know that. What he does know, what he certainly knows, is what every businessman knows, which is we need the labor. Let's not. He cannot possibly think who works in his hotel. He knows.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But he also knows that many of those people will still get across the border and will still come illegally and still be able to work in his business, for example.
I think he would like to see them come in legally. I think the people who got behind Trump thinking that he was something when it came to immigration are going to be very disappointed when they see where he's really coming from on this. Because I'm in a similar business to him on a much smaller scale. There's simply no way he could imagine, we need to get rid of these immigrants.
I'm sure, but he has backing from people who are anti-immigrant.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to be disappointed.
Well, but he's also not really going to be running that agency, I don't think.
Doesn't matter because, as I said before, as soon as the business community can't hire people, the Congress is going to roll over. I mean, listen, when Bush proposed what was a pretty good immigration reform, Bernie Sanders filibustered it because he didn't want to undercut the labor of the left. It's just this weird irony. The right is animated by my worries about, you know, national unity and worse, and outright bigotry. Mm-hmm. But I think it's not as much outright bigotry as you might think. And the left is animated by, you know, the humanitarianism, but they're the ones who really, the Bernie Sanders, they're the ones who are really concerned about labor and competition for labor, whatever. And I think when push comes to shove, it's going to be the right which is going to buckle. They're going to want the labor. They're going to want the gardeners. They want the pool.
The labor. Yeah. They already want the labor. Yeah. But the problem is not this. The problem is that there's an extremist movement that has come into the Republican Party. There's extremism in both parties, okay? And this extremist view of the world is going to try to prevent that.
Yeah, but it'll fizzle. And this is where Trump has a tremendous latitude that I keep talking about, that if he would only do the right thing is amazing, is that he doesn't... He made his deal directly with the American people, and the Congress will be very afraid to buck him in a way. And he's not, lobbyists don't have an effect anyway. If he wants to do something, whatever it is he wants to do, he's more likely to get it than almost any president has been ever.
But I don't really think he knows what he wants.
He's eventually going to have to decide what he wants.
Okay, so yeah. That's part of the problem.
More
right
meetings
now,
with Steve Harvey. More interviews with Kanye West.
Yeah. Right now, he's going into the presidency with like 37% approval rating. I mean, really?
I want to hear
it's such
this
a low blow because I don't know anything about Steve Harvey, but I know that when Obama met with celebrities, met with George Clooney, and people never take a swipe at it. Trump meets with
he also wasn't parading them out in front of the cameras when he's supposed to be behind closed doors.
He does parade them out. He absolutely does. And his photos of Chris Rock in the White House. Come on.
There are like hundreds of people. There was just an article today about there are hundreds of people in the new administration that need to be confirmed by the Senate. You know how many he's settled upon now? 28.
And
it's going to be an empty administration.
And I've read the articles that say that his schedule is not much different than previous administrations.
Did he? I was just making the joke.
Attack the guy and everything. Even stuff that's totally ridiculous and unfair.
Did Obama meet with celebrities before he got in the door?
I don't know. But I don't know why he met with Steve Harvey. But I'm just saying, like, there's just ready. Listen. He shouldn't have met with Steve Harvey.
There we go.
I'm saying that if Obama...
And I like Steve Harvey.
If Obama had met with Barbra Streisand, it would not have been ridiculed in the same way. Certainly not by people who are ridiculing Steve Harvey.
But that's one
on the right, Sean Hannity would have ridiculed it.
Well, unless he was going to give Barbra Streisand a job. You know?
Well, the bottom line, I think we were talking about downstairs. Like, I think that anti-Trump are very sore losers. They're not accepting it. You know what I'm saying? Other people, when Obama won... You know, the rest of the nation that was against it, they accepted it, whatever. You know, they didn't. But everybody that's against Trump, like, it's time to move on. Like, whatever. Like, he's the president now. You're going to have four years.
Yeah, but I think Trump hit people's nerve in a different way.
Clearly, she's right.
Yeah, but he won.
I understand
my
that.
Point is, like,
and that also we're talking about hit democracy. Them in a different way. And I think people didn't realize... They didn't realize who they were as a nation.
That's the point. I don't think that the problem is like Trump won. The problem is like how many people
supported
vote.
Him.
Yeah.
And that's what hurts people.
Maybe they know something that we don't know. I mean, maybe it's going to work. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously I say that I'm the one that's probably going to suffer. I don't want to be the experiment, but you know, I tell you from back home, it worked. You know, but, you know, I think we should accept the fact that he's the president and just support him and see what's going on.
Like, I was just making the dumb joke, but it is an interesting thing because, yeah, people get mad at him, but he didn't get in there magically. People voted.
Right.
This is the same story. It's way smaller scale, but way smaller scale. But Toronto voted in Mayor Rob Ford, who's smoking crack, running around talking about eating pussy.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Real thing. We already had what you guys might have coming up. But again, way smaller scale because Rob Ford didn't control anything, right? But people were mad at Rob Ford, and it's like, but he got full tilt voted in. You got to be mad at least the people that wanted him to be here, you know? Because he didn't just go, he didn't roll the dice, hit seven, and now he's the president. People voted the man in.
Yeah. Right.
Look, there's a big part of America that felt the country is no longer thinking about us. And the obvious, the obvious symbolic proof of that was that Hillary didn't even bother campaigning in those states, even though her husband was saying, you need to go, you know, they had written them on, everything is identity politics, they've written, and it snapped back, and it really, you know, now maybe they'll regroup and they won't make that mistake again. I mean, it's just a very small margin, but the danger is, and this I think is a big part of the panic, is that if Trump does succeed, then it may be not so easy to roll that back. As a matter of fact, he may actually have a bigger lead next time. And then the Democratic Party is truly in trouble.
Did you guys notice when he said Hillary didn't campaign even though her husband told her to? This is what Israelis do. It's like they want the men to control the women. We are against this in the Muslim society.
Right. You know? You don't have that problem. You don't have that problem because your wife will never be anywhere but in the kitchen.
And
she will not be running for president.
And as stated earlier, kitchen. Your wife is a man.
Kitchen.
But it would make sense, though, that if you're running for president and the person down the hall was president, you'd listen to that person.
Whoa. See, Canadians, they like to control.
If I'm running for something and my roommate was that thing, I'd be like, hey, buddy, what can I do to maybe be where you were?
No, it was even more than that from what I've read, is that they were kind of rolling their eyes and treating Bill Clinton as this kind of anachronism. Is that the word? Like, you know, from a different time. Didn't really get what was going on today, living in the 90s.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton's like, no, I think, and you know, now maybe 20 years from now, they will actually be right that these people don't matter. But it was by a sliver. As a matter of fact, in 5-3, if one person out of 100 in those states had voted the other way, it would have gone the other way. Right. One person out of 100. But It was also arrogance. It was arrogance on Hillary's part.
But I think it's arrogance, not just on Hillary's part, it's the entire party. Right. And then there's this whole belief that we've reached this, you know, wonderful place in America. We have this black president and everything is hunky dory. And I don't think that the Democratic Party was ready for a fight. Whereas on the ground, if anyone who's involved in local politics knows that the Republicans have been building for the past 8 years, locally, local power and control. The Koch brothers put money into that. That's what they wanted, local power and control. And it didn't really matter who the nominee was gonna be.
But they didn't support Trump, did they?
No, they did not. But because of the Koch brothers and the millions of dollars they put into the campaigns across the country, they were able to control most of the local communities. And that's where the power is coming from now, because the Senate is lost, and so is the House.
Your point is very well taken. I think it's also interesting and should always be a lesson to, I try to think this way, you know, if the Koch brothers had supported Trump, we would have been hearing basically as a given, oh, the Koch brothers bought Trump into the presidency. That, you know, but the fact is, it wouldn't have been the case, and we know that because they didn't support him and he still won.
Well, he won because...
But we overestimate... And we risk overestimating the effect of their money in any particular instance, because you don't, you know, maybe if they hadn't got the money, maybe this is the way people are feeling, you know?
No, you know what? It didn't matter who got the nomination. That Republican machine is real. And that Republican machine would have supported whoever got the nomination.
Would Hillary have lost to any Republican candidate?
Well, no. Well, certain of them. Probably. I don't want to name the ones.
You could talk about them here.
Yeah.
There's only seven of them outside that. Yeah.
Do you think Hillary would have lost no matter who she ran against?
I think that she would have had a tough time no matter what.
Yeah.
She would have had a tough time because the Republican machine is real. And people are loyal to their party in the Republican Party. There were people who voted for Hillary, yes, because they were appalled by Donald Trump. But let's say it wasn't Donald Trump. They would have had all the Republican votes if it was a halfway decent. Come on.
Right. Donald Trump is the least popular presidential candidate of all time.
Right.
But that's
not the point.
Yeah.
But it is the point, because if you were running somebody who was more popular,
but
he
beat everybody in the Republican Party.
It's about turnout and it's about
party.
Donald Trump is the least popular candidate of all time. That's why the Democrats were able to ring up such a huge popular vote total in California, New York, and Massachusetts. That's just the whole basis of why you say Trump is so unpopular. Because among that, he's wildly unpopular among that segment of the population. But in the great, you know, the other 85% of the counties in America, it very much swung on turnout. And you know this as well as I do, that the key was that Trump swung a lot of Obama districts, took them out of Obama's hand, and they swung to the Republic. And those districts we're not going to be so turned on by Jeb Bush's message. Trump Trump surgically hit, it was luck or he knew what he was doing. He hit the message that was key to turning the people that needed to be turned to win the presidency. And that electoral college majority that he cobbled together can become permanent. Especially, as I said to you the other, if he shows some real compassion.
Only for 20 years.
Well, only for 20 years. If he shows some compassion, I mean, we saw 20 years, you don't know. If he shows some compassion, some real compassion to the black community, if he were to really reach out in a
no
way that
no one will believe him.
If he met with Steve Harvey
before.
It's
funny you say that, because what do I always say? I said, he doesn't have to succeed. They have to believe him. It's funny, exactly your construction, exactly what I said to him yesterday. But the thing is, over 8 years, they may learn to believe him. He only needs to swing 5% more of the black community, and then the Democratic Party is really underwater. 5%. If he would just say, listen, every month we're going to really just keep at this thing, trying to help the inner cities, let's talk about it, whatever it is. The second 5% believe him, everything changes.
I mean, you're looking for him to be consistent with a message to a particular group of people.
The problem with
he is consistent to white America. They said they're going to win this campaign speaking to white men. And that's what they did. They don't really care about anyone else. And he's continuing that rhetoric even though he's won. He's not the president of the people.
He also had rhetoric reach and has continued rhetoric to reach out not to immigrants but to the black community. It was a constant thing he picked up, and he's done it even you know this week. I think the problem with Stephen is that he just doesn't want to credit the guy with, you know, even though he won the presidency without a dollar, he's a total idiot, and we can't credit him with any thought whatsoever.
Notice I didn't say any of that.
What were you saying? Yes, you did. I'll tell you what you said. I said if he reaches out to the black, oh, you mean like we can never expect Donald Trump to be consistent about something? I'm like, yes, you can expect him to be consistent about something, or don't be so arrogant to just assume he can never be consistent about something. All I'm saying is if he or somebody around him, Jared Kushner, whatever, can convince him to be consistent about this. There is, and you can tell me if you disagree, there is the fact that in so many inner cities that have such deep problems, Chicago being like the ultimate example of it, they have had 100% one-party rule for 50 years. It is not that hard, I think, to convince a community that says, hey, listen, you've had these same guys for 50 years. You know, why would you think this next one saying the same things is going to change anything?
Because that party wants to protect rights that protect them.
I know.
As opposed
to... But they make them a lot of promises.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, many...
I'm only talking about 5%. I have to say, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try the other guy because it can't get any worse. It's never gotten any better.
Might be up to 6% once they see Don King out there waving a flag.
Don King. Listen, I'm talking about what's in the realm of possible. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I'm saying if I were in a situation where if I was in Baltimore... And everybody is black that makes a decision in my life and has been for years and years and years. And Donald Trump said, listen, these ideas, I know they sound good, but they have they worked for you? Have they worked? Is there any reason you think that if you vote this guy in again, that anything's going to be different? I went to New York City public schools in 1970s, 1972 and 1973. 50 years later, nothing has changed. It's only gotten worse. I mean, nothing. Why would anybody think they're on the right track?
I went to New York City public schools also in the 80s. And my high school was 60% African-American, 40% Asian, and then everybody else, like a sliver.
Yeah.
And now it's, what is it, like 99% Asian?
So that's like a kind of Asian gentrification of the neighborhood.
So they're giving a lot of visas out to these Asians.
They took over.
No, I mean, what?
So did the neighborhood change? Obviously, the neighborhood had to change.
It's one of the specialized schools, so they pull kids from all over.
Oh, you were gifted. You had to slip that in. Go ahead. I'm
saying that I think, you know, I don't.
Well played.
That's hilarious.
No, I think that people of color do not feel that they are generally heard, but they do feel that they are advancing in this country. They do not feel that government necessarily is helping them per se, but they do not feel that they are in a place of oppression that, you know, people of color knew in the 60s. That's very real to them. And they don't want to be back in that place.
Listen, nobody's monolithic, and you're right. You know, but Trump, you know, if we look at him and who he was before he made the decision to run for president, and assume, well, that's, you know, what he was doing when he was just being himself, is when no one was looking, essentially, is the most likely window into the real Donald Trump, as opposed to whatever political calculation he was making. He was a pretty, like, a moderate Democrat. He was not. He was pro. He was not considered a racist or anything, except for the Central Park jogging thing. But in his social life, and his, he was, you know, like a guy who hung out with Puff Daddy and stuff like that. And he wasn't part of that alt right wing of anybody's thought.
But he is
thought.
Now.
Well, but he, what I'm saying is that I think he's going to.
He's putting them in positions of power.
I don't think he actually is.
He has the opportunity
Steve
right
Bannon?
Now. Really?
I don't think Steve Bannon. We've been through this. I see Steve Bannon got smeared. This is how we do it. So he and I sat down to read every one of the articles that, you know, had been used to represent what an outrage Steve Bannon was. I said, let's read these articles, and together we said, there's nothing here that really bothers me. We went through Breitbart.
That were incendiary, but they were not on their face to be. They were not wholly objectionable.
Yeah, but no. But even when the headline was incendiary, the it was kind of like a way to get you to read the article. But then the article
but
actually
that does not
was,
mean
was,
that he still does not provide a platform for these people and
yeah,
feeds
that's
upon
a business.
Their.
That's a business. But the question is Steve Bannon a KKK guy? He could be. I'm just saying we haven't seen a sliver of evidence for it. And a lot of the evidence that was presented, like this renegade Jew headline, turned out to be absolutely 180 degrees.
Yes, but the problem,
the opposite of what they were pretending.
The problem
it was.
I think a lot of people have with Trump, and by extension, all these people on the alt-right. Look, nobody can say for sure whether Trump is a racist or not. Michael D'Antonio, Trump's biographer, said the exact same thing to you. It doesn't really matter whether the guy is a racist or not. What matters is that he's able and willing to bring this out of people. And you can say the same thing for somebody like Steve Bannon and other people that are filling the administration. So then you're going to say, okay, he's filled his administration with these sorts of people, but you also expect...
Who was he filled his administration with?
Steve Bannon and other people like him.
Who?
Let's not get into that. So the point That's is...
You're making a pretty good case. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, right. So,
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Yeah, right. So the point is this is something that matters to people, and then you expect that, oh, he's going to go and actually start paying attention to non-white people, and then enough of them are going to be like, well, you know, let's give him a chance, even though the optics of it are not good. This doesn't look good.
As you know, they don't know. My prediction's been pretty good so far. Didn't I tell you... A year ago, he was not going to cancel Obamacare. He's not going to leave people without their insurance. You're like, why would he? I said, he doesn't.
I mean, you also said that the McCain comment would be detrimental
to his
candidacy.
I thought it would. In the end, he's going to do what makes sense. It was absurd and scaremongering to think that Trump was really going to just cancel Obamacare and leave everybody without insurance, because it would be a disaster for his presidency.
Right.
So, of course, he's not going to do it. But people really thought he was.
We don't know really what's going to happen. We don't know.
Neither does he.
Yeah,
I'd say I'm on the same side as here, though. Most of his campaign stuff was just, you know, bad guy wrestler.
But fine, but that's still unacceptable.
I'm not saying it's good.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah, totally.
It was unacceptable then. Now he's president. And now we have to. The question is, how much is the past prologue? And what I'm saying is that I think that this guy is going to be a pragmatist, because every businessman who stays in business, that's the only way. They're practical. They weigh the pros and cons.
But he's going to be practical for what? In terms of how much money
making? I'll tell you exactly. Getting his bust on Mount Rushmore. This is what this guy wants to be. He wants to go down in history as... He's a narcissist, as they say. He wants to... And nobody... remembers how Teddy Roosevelt paid for anything that he did, or Eisenhower paid for. They he wants to do big things. This Make America Great Again slogan, I think, is truly what he believes, like the space program, infrastructure. I think he wants to leave the country better than he found it. He would like to, and I think that he's also a buffoon and a vulgar guy who has no self-control and no impulse control, though these are all true. But that is not the same thing as having a bad intention towards the United States of America. I don't believe he does. And even if he did, I think he would have to not go that way because he's gonna lose re-election.
Yeah, but he's not a politician.
I mean, people were saying he was Hitler. Remember? And I'm like, he's not Hitler. Like, if he's Hitler, why do you, like they said Hitler, and then next week they're onto something else. Like, if you think he's Hitler, you don't drop that and get onto something else the next week. If you think he's Hitler, I think you stay with the fact that he's Hitler. Nobody talks about him being Hitler anymore.
The people that toss Hitler around will just say that about anybody, though. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. A manager at a McDonald's doesn't come out quick enough. They're like, fucking Hitler, for God's sake.
That's true.
Trump never had any Hitler-like agenda.
Not yet.
He doesn't have agenda. Other people have agendas.
Oh, I think he does.
At least Hitler had goals.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy.
He doesn't have an agenda.
This guy.
He's going to be whatever the people who do understand the system tell him to be.
Let me make the case that he does have an agenda. He's talking about trade. This is what he's been talking about for 20 years. What has he done during this transition period? He's been meeting with companies. He's been intimidating, whether you think it's good for capitalism or not, he's been intimidating major companies to not move jobs out. He intimidated major companies to lower
their... It's not working.
It's
not. He's just talking about several thousands of jobs that will barely touch the economy. I have a family member who works for one of these major companies. They are looking at going overseas. Why? Because we don't have capacity. We have not built capacity for these businesses.
He wants to do that too.
How is he going to do that?
But hold on. I really want to be fair here. He's not even president yet. He saved, a few thousand jobs, if it's that many. First of all, respect that. Respect the few thousand, because that those are whole communities.
We don't respect the hundreds of thousands of jobs that Obama has.
I respect that too. But this is actually different than Obama creating jobs. To be fair, I know it sounds like I'm just taking a side, because I don't know that Obama or any other president really creates jobs. The economy creates jobs.
Okay.
Trump actually got in the room and browbeat these people into the end, and but this goes to your point, and he's created a stigma now. We're all over the country, I am sure, in boardrooms, if they're considering moving, or if they were considering moving out, they're like, you know what, let's take another look at this. I don't think this is the best time to be he's done that.
The only ones who are staying are the ones who have already planned. Their long-term plan was to create more jobs.
Let me remind you the point I was making, which is that he does have an agenda. And he is acting in that agenda, and he's had results in that agenda, and to not give him the credit of any sincerity to that. He had no, what's going on? Obviously, something is going on. He's been talking about it for 20 years. He's been sitting down with companies. He's got jobs to stay. Maybe he really does care about this. Is it impossible to say to a guy that you vehemently oppose as president that he could have something honest about him, or something that he really cares about? I mean, can we allow that in our enemies, that they're not just totally bad about everything? Because that's what our politics is.
Well,
Obama
really
is wrong. No matter what he says, he's wrong. Trump, no matter what he says, can't be. No. People are complicated.
I was just going to say, it is amazing that, like, even if everybody had liked, even if Obama had done everything great, no matter who's running later would still be like, these were the worst eight years of our lives, right? If Trump does 8 years and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened, the next person has to say, yeah, he gave everybody $1 million. He brought all these jobs back. Well, wasn't that the worst 8 years you ever seen in your life?
And it's absurd.
Exactly.
Trump's going to propose $1 trillion worth of infrastructure. And probably it's going to go through. If Hillary Clinton had proposed exactly the same $1 trillion worth of infrastructure, the Republicans would have shut her down. They'd be bitching and moaning about the budget deficit and everything. But now you're going to see the Democrats bitching and moaning about the deficits for the same. I mean, they're totally full of it. Yeah.
This is the first time. Well, the Democrats haven't really decided if they're going to be totally against Trump. They haven't decided. They're not.
Will.
But they haven't officially.
Except in districts where they're
well,
where
they're
also
decided.
The Senate Minority Leader is Chuck Schumer, who's a New Yorker, obviously, and he's also known Trump for a long time.
I think
time.
John Lewis has decided.
But
and the 50 people who won't even go to the inauguration, they've decided.
They've decided, but in what, like, you know.
But the party as a whole has not decided.
Well, I hope.
And for the first time in American history, we had a Congress under Obama who did not work together. It's so un-American.
For 6 of the years, yeah.
Yes, it's a lack of. I would say American spirit. We talked earlier about building community and having people feel that they're part of this country. Well, you know what? Our politics has not condoned that.
I think the point about bringing jobs back is Trump being a businessman. When people, like when companies want to go out, they know they can go and negotiate with him and get a good deal and stay. This does not happen with any other president. So it's a good thing to have. I think Trump really would do a good job getting
on the national
jobs here.
Level, but not, yeah. But really, the jobs, when you're talking about job creation, we're talking about state levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the states have to make the accommodations for those companies, and the states have their own politics that they're playing. Each state has
and
their
that's
own.
That's what I'm saying. He might be able to.
He doesn't
have
any power over the governors.
Larry Summers, who was Obama's chief economic advisor, wrote a column in the Washington Post, when was it like day before yesterday? And in it, he was pretty, you know, didn't think that Trump was going to succeed, but he said he might. He said that, he talked about how psychology plays a big part, and if you have a situation where where the economy, the business owners really feel that this is a good time, that psychological momentum can really build. And if Trump, if Trump doesn't overplay his hand with China, and he, you know, if he bluffs a little bit, but then he actually laid out the possibility. He didn't think it was likely, but as opposed to people like Paul Krugman, who just like, and this is Larry Summers, says it could be. And I got to tell you, as a businessman and all the businessmen I speak to, we're like, oh my God, it's like, finally, there's a president there who is not looking to ruin us. Like the way business has been coming at us for 8 years under Obama. I mean, the government's been coming at us for 8 years under Obama. It's devastating. Like, our business is very good. And we're able to deal with it by just hiring. But it's like they don't stop. Inspections and fines and new laws and new regulations. And it's just, it never, Obamacare. They take, it's bad enough you have one business has to deal with it. If you have two businesses, one could be losing money. Like for a while, the bar around the corner is losing money, but this place is making money. They put your businesses together, add them up. Now you're over 50 employees. If you have 49, you're okay. If you hire the 50th employee, now you got to pay $100,000. This is the genius of Obamacare. So what are we doing as business owners? Trying to cut hours, cut employees, figure out a way to not get snared in this stupid, I'm not against the health insurance, but this stupidly constructed law, which is a huge break on the economy. Why Obama or people around him thought this was a smart thing to do, I don't know. But as a business owner who actually knows,
I think it's
not
a first
smart.
Step.
It was intended to be a first step.
Yeah, fair enough. You got to get their foot in the door. I get it. Yeah. So now you have a president who really understands business. And all over the country, people think, "Oh my God, this is the time to expand. This is, we're going to get a tax break."
He understands.
It may go well.
He understands business, but he doesn't understand people, and so
he understands people.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he does.
Team, he understands his people.
Yeah, exactly.
He
understands
his
people. He also or his team. I have a lot of respect for his team because they knew what they were doing.
And John Lewis understands his people, to be fair. Louis Farrakhan understands his people.
Correct.
And you know, that's how it works.
I don't know anything, but I think at the end of this whole Trump thing, no matter it's 4, 8 or by magic 25 years, whatever he ends up doing, I think that people will...
When he becomes dictator, you mean?
When he becomes dictator, the little hat,
martial law and suspends the Reichstag, whatever.
Yeah. I think eventually people will be better off, if that makes any sense. I don't mean because of the president. I mean people on the ground level won't be so angry at each other anymore. I believe maybe one day. Instead of just Republicans being like, you're garbage, Democrats being like, you're garbage. I think whatever happens will make people come together somehow. I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to do that. I'm saying whatever comes in the next few years.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. I think, but I don't know.
I mean, that's a very hopeful.
It's a very Canadian way.
It is Canadian. Let's get back to immigration. I want to ask you a quick question.
There's no good formula for the Muslim experience. I'm telling you, that is the one thing Americans and immigrants and illegal immigrants and all of us are all going to come together on the worry about terrorism. So you guys
been holding this joke. No, I'm not
actually joking. I'm saying because people lump it all together. Where I was like, well, Trump. I don't think Trump has any agenda other than
a lot of Muslims voted
with
for
the black community. Trump and a lot of people, including brown people. Uh-huh. I'm not. You know, I don't feel this way.
Yeah, well, I'm not brown.
I don't feel this way. But they are. They feel that the Muslim the future threats to America are coming out of the Muslim world.
Oh, really?
And Trump, I believe, does feel that as well.
Not only Trump, everybody.
Well, but I'm saying is that even people in the Democratic Party believe
But we talked about this before. The only difference
is... So you have something to worry about.
You need to be in the same level with us.
You feel that way.
We fought Taliban first, and you supported Taliban, freedom, and then they became the enemy.
So many times.
Same thing with ISIS. Same thing with Muslim Brotherhood now. But anyway, let me ask you this because
you want to know about
how easy is it
Muslims
for
Muslims are going to be what?
Anywho, no, I wanted to ask you. It's like, don't you think that people immigrants should be in charge of the immigration system here?
That immigrants are in charge of the immigration system.
No, I'm saying like
how many have you been to immigration court?
Yeah,
half of the judges are immigrants.
Yeah, it's true, okay. But I mean, I'm talking about the, you know, we understand because I know a lot of tricks. For example, that people can get in. You know, you probably do too, because you know.
Of course, she does.
You know, but you know, there is a lot of tricks that you can do, even to come here illegally, even if you don't. So I don't think the system is 100% great. You know, I think a Muslim should be in charge or an immigrant to protect the field.
Don't Muslim you think? Looks at a Muslim and says, you're too Muslim? Is there anything?
Like, how do you know they're Muslim? What makes them Muslim?
Yeah. Well, I guess
I mean, it becomes sexist because, you know, Muslim females, you can identify easily, but Muslim males? And, you know, what degree of Muslimness are you looking
for? But is that what you're saying?
Just
you're saying
keep,
a Muslim...
Just keep punching. I'm trying. Go ahead. Get him.
Is that what you're saying? A Muslim is like, hey, what kind of Muslim are you?
No, not
that's where it would come in handy to have some sort of Muslim register.
That's what I'm saying.
That we did have one.
Yeah.
The 9/11.
Yeah.
We still do have.
Yeah, we
they have.
About
oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you were talking about. I'm glad you guys were talking about why we have to go through it.
Are you registered in the Muslim registry? Really?
No.
No.
I'm a citizen. I don't have to.
That's not a Muslim registry.
All the easier for you to start your ISIS thing over here. Right.
No, I think what my point is, like, we know a lot of tricks. Don't you think that, you know, people don't, like, for example, if there's whenever there's a war anywhere in the world, all the lawyers come to, like, the community and it's like, who's from there? We'll give you a green card. We'll give you citizenship.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just have to be, you do asylum and stuff like that. Like, this is the shooting in San Francisco. What was it? The guy that shot everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Orlando?
No, Orlando. The other one.
Like in California.
San Bernardino. Yeah. He got her his girl in a fiance visa. Anybody that knows, you know, the culture knows that you don't get anybody in fiance visa. You don't live together if you're fiance and all that. You know. So all these tricks, you know, it would help if you
what
have
What do you
us
mean you
involved.
Don't live together?
So if they're very Muslim, obviously.
Oh, you mean
very,
religious people?
Yeah.
But that's not the criteria to get the finance. You don't have
I know,
to live
but
together.
He got it.
Yeah, you don't have to live together.
No,
to
but
get
he
a
put
fiance.
The address saying that they're living together. You know, so my point is, like, I could have stopped this from happening. I'm just trying to say that.
If
I,
you were there in the room to be like, hey, buddy, you don't live with this lady.
Well, this
that's
is what,
thing?
This you know. Is what I get you now. It was a long, yeah. took a long time to get yeah. it, get me there, but I understand. He's saying that you know the tricks, so you'd be the best. So that's why you hire a hacker to to be in charge of espionage. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why Trump says, I alone can fix it, because he's been the one buying off politicians.
Exactly.
That's what he says. He knows how to fix it. That was Trump's best thing. I donated to your campaign. I donated to your campaign. I donated to your campaign. You came to my wedding. That's
it was very Sam Ace Rothstein in Casino.
Yeah, it was true. Like, yeah. Sometimes you think Trump is lying. You could tell he wasn't lying when he was saying that stuff. He does know how that game is played.
So I don't know. Those people know the tricks too. But I guess you're talking about security now.
Yeah.
You're concerned about security.
Immigration and security?
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, no. We have to end the show.
we do have to end, actually. Go ahead.
You're a Muslim.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You consider yourself a practicing Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of other Muslims?
I'm afraid of other people that think they're Muslims.
The answer is yes, he is. I mean, he's saying that he thinks the people who are committing violence are actually betraying their religion. So he said they think they're Muslims.
Yeah.
But he is concerned about it.
But that's why
he's spoken about it before.
And we have to. That's why I think we should have a bigger role so we can stop them from doing what they're doing.
Oh, trust me. I'm sure there's a lot of secret agents who.
I'm kind of scared of you right now.
Why?
She did that to me too when I said how I got the green card. Just glared at me.
I'm kind of like.
She was like, how did you get that money?
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of secret agents who are Muslim working behind the scenes.
I know them.
Listen, when you see them,
they're not secret.
I've come across, I don't think you have to worry about that. I think what we really have to worry about as a nation, I think Americans, you know, we used to look at Europe and say, laugh at them and say, they're not integrated enough. That's why they have problems over there. But, you know, we realize that we have that same issue here. I think our big problem here is integration. How do people who come here not integrate into society? Like, are we so individualist that we forget about community and others? But there's a big social issue here.
No, but right? What I'm trying to say is, like,
I agree with you.
You should
1,000%.
We were talking about how American can people pee. Like, let us do our part. You know, we should be in immigration.
You're in there. Trust me.
No, I am. Oh. I know, but I'm saying...
But me personally, I want to have that job.
I want to be like, I want
to
be in the airport.
Go on to the website, but I warn you, it's like ranked number two to the last.
I don't
want to
apply.
Second to the last worst agency in the country. Like, the people working there don't want to work there.
I'm not talking about me personally. I'm doing the show.
Well, it's like they don't treat the employees
This is my give back to the society.
They complain about the way they're treated. The employees of the agency complain about how they're treated.
No, my point is like if I'm a judge, I know. Like because this part we call the Hatem Leaks, where I leak all the stuff that happened in our community. You know, I know tricks that nobody knows. Can I get arrested for this? Okay. He's my lawyer. I know tricks, you know, just like you do, you know. So my point is like, we should be
more
involved.
Do you really think immigration doesn't know tricks?
No. I think they do, but if you play it by the rule, you know, I think if, like the example, if two people are married and you know it's fake, if they do everything right and the paperwork is right, you're just going to approve it.
He's just saying he wants to be in a
room. No, they'll deny it, and then the people will come back for a second interview, and if they pass that second interview, then there's nothing they can do. They follow the procedure of the law.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and this is like a country of laws, just like anything else.
In Yemen,
when our president-elect says, you know, I'm smarter than you because I don't pay taxes, he's following the rules.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay,
but I'm saying,
so
for example,
you want to get down on the immigrants who are following the rules?
No, I'm not down on the immigrants that follow the rules. I want to be with the immigrants follow the rules.
You want to do a weekly podcast with me?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Hatem. You know, like, I'm sorry.
You can't really argue.
Sorry. I mean,
literally or figuratively.
I have a point.
All right.
So, yeah.
I think we got to wrap it up.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. You want to share your information?
Sure. You can find us on theimmigrationpost.com. We also have a Twitter, Immigration Post, and we collect all the information in the nation regarding laws, legislation, and news on immigration, and we tweet it out to the general public.
Awesome. Great.
General population would have been a whole rhyme scheme through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you missed that opportunity. Next time.
Yeah.
Steve?
You can follow me at on Instagram and Twitter at Chinabria.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, my last name is Calabria, and I lived in China for 3 years.
Ah.
So it seemed it's a little outdated, I know. Now it should be, I don't know, New Yorkabria or Cellar. Anyway, also follow the Comedy Cellar on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
Follow Hatem.
You already following me?
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Everybody's already following me. You know what's going on. I have people, two people downstairs following me. And Nathan?
NathanMcIntosh.com, Twitter and Instagram at NathanMcIntosh. And I got a podcast called Positive Anger. Thank you guys for having me.
Called what? Positive Anger?
Yeah.
Good. Positive Anger. And Deepu?
Hey, this is Deepu.
immigrant, brown immigrant.
Brown, proud. My dad came to this country with like $18 in his pocket, and I'm very proud of him. I pat him on the back every time I see him.
$18.
Yeah, and a suitcase. Yeah, great guy.
See, if I was working, I wouldn't have gotten in. I know my people.
But people can check out all my cool video content under my handle, at R2Deepu, and you can check that out. Thank you.
And of course, the Comedy Cellar. And as you all know, last week it was the Billion Dollar Night. Last Wednesday, there was Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Chappelle, Amy Schumer, Aziz Ansari, back-to-back-to-back. And same time, me and
David
Norm.
Tell, and David
and Tell. David Tell. And same time, me and Norm were here. So it was just $1,000,000,017. $1,000,017.
All right, you can stay. Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You pulled it out.
You were listening to Live from America Podcast. To contact us, please go to www.livefromamericapodcast.com. Brought to you by the Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production.